Blog Talk Radio.
Convict music. See, I can kind of recall a little ways back. Small trying to ball, always been black. And my hair, I tried it all. I even went flat, had a gumby curly top and all that crap. Now, just trying to be appreciated. Nappy headed brothers never had no ladies. Then I hit the barbershop real quick, had them give me little twists, and it drove them crazy. I couldn't get no job, corporate wouldn't hire no dreadlock. Then I thought about my dog from the block, kinda understand why they chose to steal and rob. Was it the hair that got me this far? All these girls, these cribs, these cars. I hate to say it, but it seems so flawed. Cause success didn't come till I cut it all off.
Little girl with the Preston curl, AJ, I got a Jerry curl. 13 and I got a relaxer. I was a source of so much laughter. 15 all broke off. 18 when I went all natural. February 2002, I went on and did what I had to do. Because of the time, it changed my life to become the woman that I am inside. 97 dreadlocks all gone. I looked in the mirror for the first time and saw that hair. I am not my hair. I am not this hair. I am not your ex. At the turn of the century, it's time for us to redefine who we be. You can shave it off like a South African beauty. Got it on lock like Bob Marley. You can rock it straight like Oprah Winfrey. If it's not what's on your head, it's what's underneath. And say, hey,
I am not my head.
I am not this skin. I am not your expectation. No,
I am not.
Having a camera system is not enough. We are told that surveillance cameras are effective crime-fighting tools because they deter and/or record evidence of criminal activity. But this information is false. Deterrence only works on some people, not all. One only has to keep up with the news being reported from around the world, and we see day after day of overnight burglaries or smash and grabs of businesses when they're closed. And these businesses have cameras. Cameras are great to record crimes, and they give you a record after a crime is committed. Criminals don't care if they are caught on video. They only care if they get caught in the act of a crime.
Okay, I'm back. Hopefully our track attack has been fixed. I want to introduce our co-host. Let me start over. You're tuned in to Yizer Victim Stoppers Radio, listening to Against All Odds with Renita Graves. Tonight, we will be discussing women's self-esteem from youth, elementary school, to teenagers, to adults. Tonight's guest co-host is Ayana Muhammad. Ayana?
Hello, everybody.
You on now?
I'm here. I'm on. Okay. Can you hear me?
I can. So, tonight's topic, like I said, we're going to be discussing self-esteem. Let's start with our young ladies, our elementary school age kids.
Okay.
What do you think about that issue, Ayana?
I think the thing about self-esteem, and you're right to start at the young age, because I think that's where you establish it, whether it's how you view yourself or how you think other people view you. And I think you get that at a very young age, from whether you're trying to please your parents and certain things you're doing and getting those, oh, you did a good job, and things like that from your parents, too. When you're a when you're that 7, 8 year old age up until when you're a teenager. So I think that establishing a child's self-esteem at a young age is really, really critical because it does affect them up into their adulthood.
I agree. One of the issues that plagues young ladies today that I've noticed, and just being around kids in elementary school, is their appearance. They're hung up on the good clothes, the good shoes, what everybody else is wearing.
Right, yeah.
So if it's not affordable for their household, you know, they have to get what the mama can buy them or what the daddy can buy them. They can't
right,
get
but
the
like
Jordans
you...
that they want. They can't rock the True Religion shoes. So their appearance, you know, kind of puts them in a spot where they're feeling like, you know, they can't fit in with everybody else.
It highlights it. I think we all know kids can have a tendency to be a little cruel. So, you know, if you come to school and everybody got on some J's and some Tim's and you have on some Payless shoes, you will be talked about, unfortunately. But I think that's where the parents have to reinforce it and explain it and build that confidence in your child. Like, so what? You don't have them shoes. You're going to get them one day. You know, it's like I can't get them now. Explain to your child why they have them. You know, and help them understand that. So it's not the shoes that make the person. And when they're young, it's hard to get kids to understand that because all their friends have it. You know, all my friends got J's.
Yeah.
Why can't I have J's? Well, I don't work where your mama and your friends' parents work at. So, but I think that's when the parents come in and you have to really, really reinforce certain things so they don't have those issues growing up. I have a coworker at work today that he keeps a fresh pair of Nikes on his feet. He has every Air Max, all of them, every color. Now, the rest of his attire, that's on him. But his shoes stay crisp. But he said because growing up, he didn't have the shoes that all the other kids had, and they used to tease him about it.
So he's making
He's making sure now as a grown person, nobody's going to say anything about his shoes. And I don't know about them khaki pants he wear every day, but his shoes, he keep them fresh. He keep them fresh.
Looking like a Target worker with the nice shoes and the khaki pants.
I mean, hey, man, listen, you know.
But
that,
you bring
that
up
was
a
his
point.
Team.
You bring up a good point. So as an elementary school age kid that sees all of their friends with the fly clothes on and the fly shoes on and the Jordans and the Air Maxes, when parents start noticing that this type of low self-esteem is setting in, that's where they have to step in. And they have to, you know, acknowledge, okay, you might not have Nikes, but you know what? You got a new pair of shoes on and they're clean. And you know what I'm saying? Like, encourage what they do have instead of making excuses for what they don't have.
Exactly. You have to highlight the small things. You may not have this, but you have this. And I think that's a definite way to do it. And you just have to counter and keep in mind that what they have going on at school and the way we are today in society, it is materialistic. So some self-esteem issues start with the materialistic things. That's where some of them starts. I would agree with that.
And another thing with these elementary schools, you know what? The schools, I'm going to blame this on the schools.
Okay.
My son might get mad
because
he's the principal of a school that, you know, have the age group that we're talking about discussing right now. However, when the schools took recess out, and I know down here in Georgia, they just had something on the news saying that they're going to make sure that the K through 5 or 6th graders are going to have recess again. That's wonderful because sitting around eating and not being able to exercise throughout the day causes these young kids to gain weight.
Yeah, because they're not feeding them all healthy food. Yep. Now, that's the physical appearance of it. You know, everybody can't afford to have the Kim Kardashian body, you know, so that's where it starts. Right, you know, nothing of what they have, I don't think any of us can afford, but they don't have that exercise that they need to get. And that's something that can build self-esteem, is exercise. If you're not confident about your physical appearance, then you do something about it. But I think these young kids, you're right, they don't have that recess, like they used to have, and then they at home all day on the video game because they don't really go outside and play no more. I don't think nobody plays hide
and
go seek
no more.
And it's
not enforced.
I think they still do that.
It's not enforced. I remember when I was growing up, that was enforced. Get out the house. Go do something with yourself.
I know, right? Like, why are you?
And I
out?
Had a video game.
Go.
It was the Atari.
Yeah, we had video games, but you played your video game when you came back in the house because everybody was outside and you didn't want to be in the house playing a video game. No, street lights come on, then you go in the house and play the video game. But you was outside most of the day. They don't do that no more. We don't do that no more.
No,
but I think that
something.
Age and go ahead.
Do you think that the parents or the mom, especially when we're talking about young girls, have a big role in their child's low self-esteem?
That's a tough, because I don't think it always falls on the mom, though. I think it is on the dad, too. But I do think parents play a role in it. If you are being negative towards your child, if you are comparing your child to somebody else's child, well, so-and-so, her kids, they clean up all the time around the house. I don't have to keep talking to them. When you have that negative comparison or you're always giving off that negative vibe as a parent, absolutely, you have all the effects on your children's self-esteem. You can be giving them all the shoes, all the clothes in the world, but if you're being negative towards them, be it verbally, physically, whatever, you're affecting their self-esteem. You are truly affecting
them. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
So as
a mother that has daughters, I'm guilty. Look, I tell myself every week, I'm guilty because I know how I raise my kids. Clean up. My oldest daughter, I love her to death, but when she was young, knowing good well she couldn't wear my clothes, but she would wear them anyway. I would come home and she wore a pair of my pants to school. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? It had two sizes, 10 sizes.
You wanted to wear them. But in kids' eyes, they don't see it. Yeah, they don't see it like that. But, I mean, parent, you just have to be conscious of the things that you say and make sure that you if you are saying something negative, you still have to follow that up with something positive. You just always have to give that positive reinforcement to help in building your child's self-esteem. I don't think people always like, I think it was Cat Williams said, self-esteem is the esteem of oneself. But people really can cause your self-esteem to be low. And it does start there.
It does.
But let that girl wear them pants. There ain't nothing wrong with that.
I think if parents tell their young children, especially their daughters, to focus on pleasing people and worry about pleasing yourself. Don't worry about what they think. What do you think? If you can look in the mirror and you're comfortable with yourself or with the clothes that you have on,
right?
Go with it.
It's definitely...
They need to encourage them to stand up for what they need and what they want instead of what they feel like other people need and want from them.
Right. It's that comparison. So that's something that can affect your self-esteem, I think, at any age, be it a child, a teenager, or an adult. If you're striving to accomplish something that somebody else has and you're not reaching that goal, that's going to make you feel bad about yourself. And I think that starts at a young age, too. You're seeing all the other young girls in school, and they have the long hair and this, and you're like, well, I want long hair. My hair not long. And then you grow into that, thinking you want what you see somebody else has. And you're always comparing yourself to it. So that's definitely, as young girls, they have to understand that being who you have to be comfortable in your own
skin.
You
it's
have
a must.
To. You're it's a must. I mean, it's not even trying to be confident and being like, oh, I know I'm the bomb. No, it's just being comfortable with yourself, because the rest of that will come. But you have to start out being comfortable in your own skin.
That's true.
But
and when you
it's just weird because
one parent
society today makes it hard though. Society today makes that hard though. They really.
Oh yeah, we had a guy that called a couple of weeks ago, and he made a mention of that same thing. Society makes it worse for women, especially because they have all these Kim Kardashians or
and the Nicki Minaj's. Right. It's funny because you I tell people all the time, like, oh, you're trying to be internet famous. You're not getting enough likes on the Instagram, or you're not getting enough likes or followers on Snap. Like, that stuff that affects people. You don't realize as teenagers and grown people, you'd be like, I don't have that many followers. Like, why do you care who's following you or who's how many people watching your live video? Like, you grow into it. And that's part of society and social media and how it's just, it's really affecting people, especially women and their self-esteem. Like, I think it's ridiculous how many women are, you got to put up all these pictures in there, you know, to make sure I got more likes than you got, you know. And it's, I don't even know how we're going to fix that problem. That's a whole nother issue.
I've never gotten that live thing, and I think that has something to do with self-esteem, too, for people to just go live and look at the camera and flick their hair. I don't get it. But that's another topic.
It is because I think it's an attention thing, and that's where the self-esteem comes in some cases with women. When you are being overly sexual, I think you're grasping for attention because you're not confident in yourself. So you need some other people to tell you that. You know, I want somebody else to tell me I'm pretty because I don't think I'm pretty. And that's that self-esteem. And that comes when you get older and you haven't had it as a child and now you're a teenager and you're looking for it and you're seeking it as a teenage girl and you're like, nobody's telling me I'm pretty or, you know, and stuff like that. And that's where it really, it has a lot to do with just trying to get attention. And I think people that seek attention have low self-esteem.
Okay, and so let me ask you this. We're talking about these elementary school girls and I just want to get some, you know, some effective dialogue here on this. On this show. So do you think that it's actually a self-esteem issue with these little girls? Can you really have a self-esteem issue at 7 or 8 years old?
Absolutely. Definitely. I think so. I think when you would think like that young, you know, but you don't even know to be confident in yourself at that age. You don't
exactly.
even know it. So you don't even realize that you're not confident in yourself. But you, amazing, as grown people, you've probably seen, you can see the one little girl that she's dancing, music come on, and she's just dancing like nobody's watching her and having the time of her life. And then you can see the other young little girl that may be sitting next to her, and she's not dancing. She's just sitting there watching that young girl. And right there, you can see one of them is confident enough to not care what anybody is saying about her because she's just enjoying herself at the age of 7 or 8. Whereas the other little girl is sitting there watching, and she wants to dance. You can see it in her eyes, but she's shy. She's kind of and that self-esteem at that young age, and they don't realize that that's what it is, but they're just not confident enough. And that's so to be at that age, you can still have low self-esteem. It just hasn't been identified, I would say.
Exactly. So when it's not being identified, somebody is, if there's some adult, another kid, somebody sees and they feed into the fact that you're feeling low about yourself. Even as a child, I can remember my elementary school days when I could tell something was going on with somebody else. I might not have known exactly what the problem
mm-hmm.
is, but I could look at mm-hmm. the kids in my elementary school class and tell something's not right with her.
Right. Right. And it wasn't, and it's like, as grown people, we can really see it now. But, I mean, when I was young like that, I know it was people in my – I might have been that person. I don't even remember. I'm not going to lie. But it was times when I was younger and at that age that I would say, yes, I had low self-esteem. I was the shortest, the smallest. And I know I had low self-esteem because I was even bullied. So that was part of me not being confident in myself to be able to say something to that person. Now, granted, I had – two parents that made sure that didn't continue and all of that went away. But that was a self-esteem issue. I was the kid that was going to be over there in the corner by myself, lonely, not paying anybody no attention. And I was friends with everybody, but actually friends with nobody. It's just, it seems like it's crazy, but it really happens. That means you know everybody. Everybody knows you, but when they have
nobody
a party, they're probably not going
to
invite you. Right, exactly. They have the birthday party. Right, and that's the, it's the in crowd. And that amazingly travels throughout your lifespan. But at that age, it really can affect young girls. And I think when they're at a young age and they have low self-esteem, if it's not caught and it's not fed to increase, it only continues and it becomes other bigger issues.
I agree. Well, we have a few callers, Ayanna. Before we go on to the next age bracket, I want to see if we have some callers that want to chime in and maybe tell their story or somebody else's story or ask us a few questions. I'm going to start with the caller with the last four of 0899. Good evening, caller. Are you calling to listen or do you want to make a comment?
I want to make a comment. Hi.
Hi.
I have several comments that I could make, but the show's not long enough.
Uh-oh.
And you only chime in one time per caller. But first I want to say, from working in a school and teaching fourth grade last year, yeah, I do see that it does form a lot in little girls. You would be amazed at how much, and maybe it's that they're not getting it at home, that a lot of the times the kids are not receiving the love that they need. And sometimes just a hug goes a long way, or just good morning, sunshine, that goes a long way. You see a
yeah.
lot of kids that I dealt with kids that kind of seemed like they had low self-esteem because they were darker than other children. And I get that too,
yeah.
because now that bullying is so much a factor now, I really didn't realize that's what was happening to me growing up, because I got teased because of my hair, and because I was light skinned, and everybody always thought light skin was in. That's what people think, but that's not always the factor, because I as a child was tormented for being light skinned and having long hair. And it's not your fault on, you know, how God made you. So it's very real in little children. You don't believe it, and it's hard to see it because, you, like you're saying, they don't even know themselves.
Right.
They're learning.
How do they know what's going on? So let me ask you that. I want to stop
because
you right there. I want to finish.
Mm-hmm.
But let me ask you, how, when you said you taught fourth grade, when you looked at these little girls, how did you know off top that it was a self-esteem issue versus maybe they were going through something at home and they were just being an introvert?
Mm-hmm.
How were you able to identify that this little girl had low self-esteem?
Because it wasn't necessarily that they were being introverts. They were the trash talkers, the one that always wanted to fight somebody. The one that the one that if you said something to them or accidentally bumped them, they would pop off immediately. Any little bitty thing would trigger them. And once you got to know them, you know that they were acting out for a reason. It was something about themselves. Or when people would crowd around, or somebody may come in with, like you said, a new pair of shoes or something like that, they would kind of be standoffish or something like that, or somebody's hair got done and it didn't look like the other person's, then you would see them kind of back up, or it ain't that cute anyway, you know. So that's how you could tell it. Is they don't always become introverts. Sometimes they are the ones that try to cause the scene because they want somebody to look at them.
Mm.
It's getting the attention. They're seeking that attention, trying to be
the attention seekers. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, thank you for calling in and sharing your story. We greatly appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Ain't that interesting?
I know, because you would think it's the more shy person, but it's the attention seekers.
Wow.
That, yeah, I'm not surprised by that. I'm not surprised by that.
That is shocking. That I'm
really,
just,
though?
I'm just kind of amazed. I want to go to another caller and see what this caller has to say. Caller with the last 4-3-5-6-2. Caller, are you calling in to listen, or do you want to make a comment?
Actually, yeah, I was just listening, but...
Oh, was she talking? I'm sorry. Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Actually, I was just calling in to listen, but I'm just being enlightened by the conversation, and I came across the advertisement on Facebook, and I was just so happy to see some sisters having a conversation about our children today. Is so important, and it's, we definitely need it. So I'm just, you know, I am listening. This is my first time calling in and listening, and I heard a lot of good points. So I just wanted to let you guys know that I'm very proud of you ladies for just everything you're saying and just how we sisters together just talking about our children.
Yeah, this show, if you've never come across it before, this show is going to be all things women. So we're going to touch on topics that relate to women in general, what we are going through, what we've been through, what we've seen others go through. It's a platform for people to talk about their issues. There's a different topic every week. You can call in or you can listen online. So tonight's topic, because it's so rampant out here, and we have a lot of women that have low self-esteem issues, you know, it's just a big topic for tonight. So I appreciate you calling. I'm thankful that you're listening. I hope you continue to listen every Thursday night from 8 to 9. Hopefully we have a topic that touches you to the point where you may want to share a story of yours. Spread the word.
Well, thank you for that, and I wish you guys much success in this, because it's definitely needed in our community.
And thank you, and continue to listen, and put you back in queue.
Most definitely.
All right. So, Ayana.
Yes,
we
ma'am.
Talked about these young girls. We had a caller that called in about her experience as a teacher and dealing with a young girl. Now, I was under the influence that our younger kids couldn't really tell if this was a low self-esteem issue. I would not be able to look at a child and say she has low self-esteem. But I
right.
can identify that there is an issue and try to figure out what that issue is. I know for parents
okay.
with young kids that may have low self-esteem, you have to think about it and ask yourself, what am I doing or not doing that can contribute to my child's well-being and to make her feel better about herself and her situations than what she's feeling right now? Do things like, you know, praise her, ask her about her schoolwork. Let her tell you what's going on. Invite her to share her stories of what's going on in her life, even at a young age. Do you have any suggestions for these parents with these little babies? You gotta get a hold on it.
Like, yeah, I think like the caller said, a hug can go a long way. I think that's one way. The good morning, I think that was something my mom used to always say, was good morning, beautiful. Whenever she would be coming in, waking us up, she would say that. It drove me crazy because I probably wanted to sleep. But looking back on it now, I really can understand and see where she was going with that. But asking them about their schoolwork, asking them how their day went. I think as
exactly.
parents, sometimes they get so caught up in their everyday life of what's going on. And especially when your kids get to that age where they can do so many things for themselves that you forget there's some things that they still need from their parents. Like, yeah, they can make their own cereal and all of that. But sitting down with them and just talking to them, asking
they
them about
need that
them,
interaction.
Asking them about their, yeah, they need that. They still need it. No matter what age, it's still needed. And I think that that's where you get the attention seekers at school, because they're not getting that attention at home.
At home.
Yeah. Yep.
I agree. Now let's shoot for these teenagers. This second age bracket.
Ooh.
Now this one is the doozy.
I mean, yeah. These girls, boy.
At this point, the preteens, the teenagers, the young adults, to 18, 19, 20 years old, that's when it's identifiable to the outside world that you got low self-esteem.
Yes.
Been running around school half-dressed. You know your mama don't send you to school like that.
Okay.
The kissing the boys
like
under
the clothes in the bathroom. Yeah, you being overly sexual, just thinking you grown. Those to me, you're right. If you are at the age of 13 and you are trying to dress, act, and look like you 18, again, you're trying to get attention. You're trying to be something that you're not. You're looking at other folks and trying to be who they are and not confident in who you are. If you got to dress a certain way to get people to notice you, that means you feel like you're not being noticed in a regular sweatshirt and some jeans, you know. And these teenagers, I don't even know where to start with them.
Out of control.
You can start there.
Out of control. And I'm going to tell you what has gotten worse. I've seen so many fights displayed on somebody's cell phone of little girls.
Yes.
God forbid
fighting
you are on the losing end of that fight, and it went viral.
You just crushed your whole future high school career.
Your soul is gone.
You always are going to be that girl.
That girl that got beat up.
Right. You can't even change schools because they saw it too. Like, what
the
do you
world
do?
Of that phone and the viral videos.
Man, I think society that we live in is making it even harder for kids. When you have, see, back when we were growing up, you had possibly had two parent households, and then, you know, both parents weren't working at 7, 8 o'clock at night. You know, somebody was actually home when you got home from school, so they could do that interaction with you and see you and came home from being in a fight, as opposed to, you know, so. But these teenage girls today, they out there bad, and I don't even know why, but it's clearly self-esteem. They're clearly not confident in themselves at all whatsoever. Whether they're trying to be the celebrity of whoever they're like, you know, everybody's part of the beehive and they want to be Beyonce, or they on the opposite end and just trying to be the hardest person in the school because they want to fight everybody. Like, it's so far on the spectrum, but to me, whether they're at a young child age or at a teenager's age, they still need the same things. They still need that positiveness that they're not getting. You know,
they
I think
do.
As a parent,
but how do you bounce back? How can you help instill some self-esteem in these teenagers who have gone through a tragic situation?
I think from a parent, when you have these young girls that are like that, I think you have to find something to give them to be positive about. Find out what it is they really like and make sure they can get that and build from there. Take them to do some form of
community
service. Yeah. Have them do community service and go with them. Don't just, you know what, Saturday you going with so-and-so and so-and-so to do. No, you go with them and you be there with them and you spend that time with them, because when you're doing things, I don't care who you are, if you're doing something for someone else, it's going to make you feel good about yourself. And I think when they are that far gone and that teenage, that's what you got to do. It has to be something positive that you have to reinforce it. find the things that they enjoy and help them be able to do that. Yeah, that's like, whew, some of these teenagers today. Whoa.
Out of control. And a lot of it is teen issues. A lot of that teen promiscuity, a lot of that fighting, a lot of that bullying, a lot of it is low self-esteem.
Mm-hmm. That's really what it all is. I mean, that's really what it boils down to.
To my question, is it mind? Can it be mind over matter? Can you reprogram your mind to say whatever everybody else thinks about me? It doesn't matter at that age. Now, you got to think, we're at the age of I need to be accepted. I want to be accepted. I need for everybody to like me. I don't want to be the girl in class that nobody likes. I don't want to be the girl in
class
that,
good grades,
that can't
you know.
Sit at the lunch table with everybody else.
Well, see, and that's the thing is with self-esteem, it's two forms. It's what we think of ourselves, and then it's what we think other people think of us. So it's two sides. So even if you're confident in yourself, but you still feel like everybody else thinks something like, I'm not that girl that everybody wants to eat lunch with. I think to aid in that, you as a parent or if you're a teacher and you see that girl, you have to continuously feed her positivity.
I agree.
So one day I want to sit with you. One day in life they're going to be sweating you. Don't worry about it. Look, they ain't sitting with you now, but when you get, you know, you feed them that, you know, even though it sounds like, why would you be? No, you feed, they may not want to sit with you now, but trust and believe one of these days they're going to be sweating you because you're going to be who you are and it's going to be so much more than they could ever imagine.
And
you
you're
have
gonna
to
set
feed trends. That in. Yes, yes. And
but
just,
what about those
positive
where the mothers do work two jobs and they're gone when you wake up for school? And by the time they get home from work, you're asleep. At what point in time do other women have that responsibility to step up and say, let me take this child under my wing? She needs my help. We need more of those ladies.
Mentorships and things like that. And I think that I'm not a teacher, but I think, I hate to say it, because I know that the teachers do a lot. But sometimes that falls on a teacher, and it's unfortunately that's where it falls. Yes, because as teachers, they get so into what they're doing, and they're trying to just get these kids to pass this test to keep the funding for the school. But sometimes you have to step back and realize what made you become a teacher to begin with, and to notice these young girls in the classroom and reach out to them. I mean, if you have sisters, aunts, you know, they have to see that their niece is not where she should be. You know, you have to just pay attention. And I think from any aspect, whether you're the mother, older sibling, teacher, guidance counselor, you just have to start paying attention and then notice that that's what they need and try to give them that. Or ask them, what's wrong? I noticed today you haven't been yourself. What's going on? You know, it's just little bitty things, I think, that could just make
they go a long way
world.
With these teenagers, just knowing that somebody cares. These kids sitting next to me may not care, but somebody cares, and somebody cares enough to lift my spirits up. See, I had one teacher that I will never, no, I'll take that back. I had two, Miss Gray at school 73 and Miss Cushionberry at school 94. When I tell you they were the best, things like that. And I was young, elementary and middle school, but I will never forget those two ladies because no matter what went on in my day, they made sure I was okay. They asked me every day. They gave me words of encouragement and everything. And I'll be 45 years old next Thursday, but I will, as long as I have my memory, I will never forget those two ladies.
I'm not going to lie, I'm shocked that you remember. But no, but I mean, but that's because you know why you remember them though? They put a staple on where you are today by
they
giving
did.
You that little bit of positive reinforcement. You know, it's
just a little bit,
even
it went
if
a
like,
long way.
And I would say, as a parent, let's say if you,
you're a parent and you are always gone. It would be, write a positive note and stick it on your child's mirror. So when they wake up in the morning and they'll see it. Or, you know what I'm saying, little things like that that they would read and they may or may be like, oh, mama tripping. But you would be amazed at how many times you keep doing it and they'll start paying attention and it'll resonate and they'll remember. And then they'll be 40 years later saying, I remember my mother used to put, you know, positive things on, you know, little things like that, because you can't be there all the time. And parents today, you can't be there all the time. Somebody's got to pay the bills. So, but yeah, it definitely, unfortunately, falls on teachers and because you just can't be a teacher and not care about the kids. So when you notice it, you gotta step in. And you can step in and not be where the parents are like, don't be telling my child. Like, nah, not like that. But there's a way that you can go about it. And it'll be that positive reinforcement that they need to help build their self-esteem. And it's not overnight. It's not overnight, and it takes time.
That is kind of hard, especially when you have, you know, it's like you're playing a tug of war with these teenagers. You're playing a tug of war because you want them to come on this side of the rope, the positive side of the rope. But they see the in crowd over there, and they really want to be over there. So there's going to be some type of resistance coming from the teachers, the parents, this, that, and the other. So I think, now, going back, we as parents, aunts, grandmothers, cousins, teachers have to start instilling in these young ladies in the beginning their self-worth.
Yes, absolutely.
We have to start letting
everything
know,
at the home.
Regardless,
I mean,
of if
you're
light skin, dark skin, tall, short, heavy, skinny, big feet, whatever your situation is, your self-worth it weighs more on you than anything else. And letting them know that they will be successful in spite of.
Right.
Build that
confidence
in them at an early age.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Because if not, you become the grown woman with low self-esteem.
Let's jump right on into it.
When you don't get that positive, yes, grown women with low self-esteem, oh my goodness, you can help the kids. These grown women, they really got to help themselves. And I think that's the hard thing about it, when you see a grown woman that has low self-esteem, because,
oh my God, I don't know what it is. I'm going to let you tell me. I'm going to give you a scenario and I'm not going to say no names. If I look on Facebook and see this 53-year-old lady laid back on a motorcycle with her legs cocked open and little pasty things on her breast, one more time, fly up through my timeline, I'm going to go into a coma. What is it?
See, but
is that low self-esteem, or is that I'm just trying to be sexy? Like, what is that? Who are you trying to impress?
When you have
kids and grandkids and that's on here.
I think that's I'm not going to deny, I do think that's low self-esteem. I think that's trying to get attention. But I think in some cases, women of that age, or you reach a certain age, you're still trying to get that positive reinforcement that you need, that you might not have gotten as a kid. And when we as women see it and you see other women doing it, you're like, what is she doing? Why is she that grown doing this? Because when you reach a certain age, you have to build that self-esteem within yourself. You cannot seek it from others. See, once you pass that certain threshold, it's no longer your parents are trying to help you build your self-esteem or your teachers. You have to build it within yourself. And until you can identify that, I need this, or I need that, or I'm missing something emotionally, you find yourself posing at 53 looking for likes on the internet. I mean.
And I thought it was just me. So you think it's a self-esteem issue?
It's a thin line in that case, but I do think it is. I think it is, but I think that when you become grown, as a grown woman, you can have high self-esteem and then you can have something happen and it crushes it. That you never had it, you might have just had something happen that kind of lowered it. So you're doing what you think is going to make you feel better about yourself. Yeah, you're thinking it's going to make you feel better about yourself. But in essence, it really doesn't. It doesn't.
And
it
identifies.
You still have that feeling.
To me, it's like a call for help.
Yes, it's a cry for help.
But
we're
going to talk a little bit more
exactly
about these adult low self-esteem ladies in just a second. I have somebody that wants to chime back in. Caller, last 4-0-8-9-9. You have something you want to share with us?
Yes. Y'all are hitting on so much today. Okay. To the older women, that do that, it can go, it's kind of a catch 22. You have some that either had started having children early, so they were forced to be moms early, and therefore they didn't get to play out their youth the way they probably wanted it to be. So therefore, after their kids then grew up, and then they get out and start doing them, they revert back to a teenager instead of, you know, embracing their, I'm not going to say being older, but being seasoned, embracing that and just be the woman they are. They revert back to, like you said, they seek the attention because maybe they didn't get it because they are, you don't know what the situation was as far as how many kids they had or who supported them while they were having kids or were they able to be a mother but still kind of be a child at the same time. A lot of them do that. But then you also, like you said, you have said something that when they do that, that women, grown women, need to help themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they don't know how to help themselves.
True.
They have to seek it. Because maybe they had a mother that was down on themselves. And even though she may have tried to encourage them or say things, but she didn't know how to embrace herself. She didn't know how to walk in the woman that she is. So therefore, who can you turn to when that's the person that a girl usually goes to first? How can you go to your mother if she's not the one, you know, that can uplift you? You know what I mean?
Got it.
So you're saying that it's kind of like a learned behavior. I saw my mom go through these things, and I heard my mom say these things about herself. So that's like my norm.
Because you don't even know better.
Look up to your mom. I mean, I'm 45.
Yeah,
I still look up to my mom. My mom still works.
Exactly.
So I work. I got my work ethic from my mom. So as a child, what I think I'm hearing you say, it's kind of like a learned behavior. I'm older now, but this is what I saw from the women around me.
This is what I'm used to. This is what I'm used to. It's when a woman, let me go here. When a woman continually, like they're in an abusive relationship, and that drains your self-esteem down. But when you get a woman that has in an abusive relationship who had a mother that was in an abusive relationship that thought that was okay. You know what I mean? Then if the mother thinks that that's normal, right. Your mother's not telling you get out of it. She's saying, girl, stay in it because that's all right. That's just how they do. But it's not all right. So they look at that like, oh, okay. You know, well, yeah, maybe that's just how I'm supposed to be.
Ooh,
and then you
said
one more thing, and I promise I'm done.
Let me ask you this before you go into the next one. So as an adult, because you touched on some good topics as far as grown women and their low self-esteem. As an adult, do you think it's possible to build that confidence, to make your self-esteem higher or at this point, are you just doomed? If you have low self-esteem as an adult, can you ever reverse that? Do you think that can be reversed?
If you identify it, yeah.
You have to, like she said, you have to identify it. You have to first agree with yourself to know that's what you're going through and admit to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the number one thing. And then you have to be willing to want to change it, to be able to look at yourself. Yep. You have to be able to take that step, look at yourself, and say this is not normal. At some point in time, you have to be able to just own up to it, but seek the help. Do not ask questions. It may be a close friend. It may be the first lady at church. It may be the lady you see in the break room at work that you just see that has a swag that's out of control, and you just want to know, what do I do to get that same kind of swag that you have?
Okay. So it's possible as an adult that you could change that learned behavior and change your whole pattern at 55 years old, at 45 years old.
But you have to identify it. You have to say to yourself, I'm not liking it. I need to stop. Or let's go with the physical. I have low self-esteem because I'm heavy. Okay, go to the gym. Work out. Do whatever it is that you can do that's going to make you feel more positive about what you're feeling is negative in your life. I don't make enough money. Okay. Figure out a way to either save the money that you are making or to make more money. So it's the little steps that you have to do. You can't be perfection because nobody's perfect, but you have to be positive about celebrate the small things. You know what, I'm going to stop eating red meat and just see, you know, and then when you go your first week, you're like, you know what, I did pretty good. I think I can do another week. But you have to identified in yourself and want to move forward, because if you're not identified in yourself, you're pretty much, as she said, you're perpetuating the problem, and you're just gonna continue to fester and grow,
and it's gonna continue to grow,
right?
And you're gonna continue. It's gonna end up turning into a depression. Like it's a thin line between low self-esteem and just being all out downright depressed. If you're constantly competing with yourself and looking at what you don't have versus the things that you do have, go out, look at the homeless. I volunteer. I take my kids on volunteer efforts. I'm going to take my granddaughter this weekend to let her see things could be a lot worse than what they are right now. They have to see something different.
It's not celebrating their negativity. What it's doing is it's reaffirming what you have in your life that's positive.
Exactly.
I think is what it really is. So, but yeah, depression and self-esteem, they do, at a certain age, they run hand in hand.
Hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a little bit of words of encouragement. I'm going to let Ayana give you all some words of encouragement. If there is a time where you feel like you are falling into a low self-esteem, or if you're already there, think about the things that you're good at. If you're good at writing, if you're good at drawing, appreciate your accomplishments. Appreciate the things that you do have. If you don't like the way if your eyes are big, maybe you have pretty lips. Concentrate on your lips. Concentrate on your pretty toes. Concentrate on the things that you know are positive in your life instead of those negative things. Ayana, what you got for the people?
I think I would wrap it up by saying you can't expect nobody else to love you if you don't love yourself. You got to love yourself first. I mean, I think that's pretty much what it boils down to. And I'm going to ask you.
I want to let everybody know that we have a blog page on www.victimstoppers.us. You can follow us on Twitter at Victim Stoppers. I also want to lead you into next week's topic. We will be discussing women settling for less than what they deserve. anything in life, whether it's your job, your relationship with your kids, husband, parents, whatever, you should expect to get out of it exactly what you put into it. So if you put in 100%, you should expect to get that same 100% back. Stop settling. We're going to talk about that next week. Tune in, www.victimstoppersradio.us, Against All Odds with Renita Graves. We're going to close out tonight with a word from our sponsor. I appreciate everybody listening. Thank you, Ayana, for co-hosting tonight's show with me. I appreciate it. Have a nice night, everybody. I'll talk to you next Thursday. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Having a camera system is not enough. We are told that surveillance cameras are effective crime-fighting tools because they deter and or record evidence of criminal activity. But this information is false. Deterrence only works on some people, not all. One only has to keep up with the news being reported from around the world, and we see day after day of overnight burglaries or smash and grabs of businesses when they're closed. And these businesses have cameras. Cameras are great to record crimes, and they give you a record after a crime is committed. Criminals don't care if they are caught on video. They only care if they get caught in the act of a crime. You may be asking, why use Digital Guard remote monitoring to protect your business or home? Why hire Digital Guard remote monitoring instead of hiring a security guard? What makes Digital Guard remote monitoring different from alarm monitoring companies? The answers to your questions are, what is the answer? The answer is Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring has been used to improve or replace traditional security guard services for many businesses. Our solution is a proactive and more effective way to preventing the act of a crime at less than 75% of the cost of having security guards. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring eliminates all of those associated fees that come with hiring a security guard staff. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring solves the problem of businesses burglarized overnight when they're closed. Our command center views live real-time video from any installed camera on our network. Upon viewing an attempted security breach, we can either dispatch a security response unit or immediately contact law enforcement. Digital Guard remote monitoring will improve safety, reduce accidents, reduce shrinkage, increase bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give business owners a sense of peace. Criminals don't care if they are caught on video. They only care if they get caught in the act of a crime. Be proactive, not reactive, when it comes to protecting your business or home. To get started, contact us at 888-640-5777, option 2, or visit www.digitalguardlive.com.